How many of you glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
Well, you're looking good. Amen. Thank God all of you look good. You look slim and you're looking happy. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thanksgiving is a wonderful time to be with your family. I hope you have a great time with your family and ask God's blessing. Every Sunday this month, we have emphasized Thanksgiving. The first week, we talked about the fact that sometimes Thanksgiving is relegated to a second-class holiday almost because we are already anticipating Christmas. And I preached to you about, a lot of people say, I can't hardly wait for Christmas. Very few people ever say, I can't hardly wait for Thanksgiving, and where we can give God glory and praise for all he's done for us. And most people have a Christmas list. Most people don't have a Thanksgiving list, but one of our young teenage ladies I know has been posting every day something she's thankful for online. I thought that was a blessing from heaven, and I thank the Lord for her heart to want to do that. And then I emphasized things about Thanksgiving. Then we thank the Lord for our vets and for those who serve us in military. And that was a primary emphasis on that Sunday, but also for all those who serve in the way of helping the general public. I think we ought to keep thanking God for EMS and fire departments and for the police departments and for the sheriff's department and highway patrol, all those who imperil every day just to keep us safe. And so remember to pray for all of them and thank the Lord for them. And then last Sunday, I thank the Lord for the church. I don't know where I'd be. It hadn't been for the church of God. I thank the Lord for the church. This morning, I want to read a text that I'll tell you in a moment. The theme, you may pick up on it before I get through. But in 2 Corinthians, please, chapter number 4, I call your attention to verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The treasure speaks of eternal life and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our body as being an earthen vessel. And he said the reason that this treasure is in an earthen vessel is that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believe and therefore I have spoken, so also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus Christ raised up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, for the abundant grace, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many abound to the glory of God. I want to, with a companion passage now, I want you to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'll begin reading with verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproach, in necessity, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you this morning again for the wonderful Spirit. Thank you for the generosity of God's people. Our Father, on this day, when our Father, the altar is covered with food gifts, honoring you and praising you and thanking you, our Father, given to be shared with others who have need. Thank you for the blessing of God's people. Thank you, our Father, for the great singing of the choir, Brother Joe Barry, this morning, and Lord, for all your presence that's here. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost now will breathe on me. quicken me, Lord Jesus, help me to be obedient to you. And I pray, God, that your word will speak to me and through me this morning. Remove far from me anything that would hinder the work of God. I plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over this place, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, who at every knee will bow to and confess that he is Lord. And I pray, God, this morning that, God, you'd speak to heart. God, I pray you'd save some this morning in the building, in the radio audience, internet audience. And I pray, God, that your people could be helped and encouraged. And, God, that we'll be right with you and love you and serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to call your attention back to the one passage there in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12 in verse number 7. He said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on thank you, Lord, for the thorns. We are thankful for everything that comes from God. And Paul learned to be thankful for some things that I hardly ever think about thanking God for. I have often said that one of the most amazing passages of Scripture in all of the Bible is when Job makes this testimony. Job lost all of his children in one day. He lost all of his income in one day. He eventually lost all of his health from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He was one sore. He lost his family, lost his income, lost all of his livestock, lost his servants, but just a few. And he's now lost his health. He sits on an ash heap and he scrapes himself with an ash. And his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And Job demonstrated the greatest act of faith I've seen anywhere in the Old Testament when he said this, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And then he goes on later and he says this, "I know this, I know that if this body be destroyed," he said, "I'll see him one of these days. I know that my Redeemer liveth." Boy, that's always been an amazing passage of Scripture to me. But now as I come to the Apostle Paul and I see Paul's testimony, I hear Paul's testimony in this passage of Scripture, where he talks about that thorn in the flesh. Now, nobody really knows what it was. A lot of commentators have ideas. Some people think it was his physical appearance, that maybe he had some infirmities in his flesh. Maybe he was stoop-shouldered, or maybe he had some physical deformity. Maybe it was his eyesight. Maybe he couldn't see. Could have been a health issue. It could have been something else. It could have been a honing memory. It could be the fact that the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, he gave witness at the death of Stephen. He personally incarcerated and put to death thousands of Christians. And his testimony was this, that he was chiefest of sinners. It could be that the devil continually poked and prodded him in regard to his past and what he did. And I don't know what it was. Nobody knows what it was. But there was something. It could have been a physical malady. It could have been something like what we would consider cancer. It could have been some sort of arthritic condition. It could have been unbearable pain. I don't know what it was, but it was something that was a thorn in his flesh. And he through all of that, he learned to thank God for the thorns. Now, without any shadow of a doubt, every person in here can testify that you have some type of thorn. It may be something that's not eternal or something that hadn't lasted a long time, but everybody at some time or another will have thorns in your life. You'll have those things that come your way. When you look at thorns in the Bible, you'll find their first reference is in the Garden of Eden. When man sinned, the Bible said the earth was cursed and it brought forth thorns and thistles. And there you see that it speaks of a curse. It speaks of God's cursing the earth and where man could walk comfortably through that forest with no shoes on. Now every step he takes is a painful step because of thorns and thistles. Where he could walk through glades and through the forest and just smell aroma and be caressed with the foliage that was there. Now when he goes, there's briars to cling to him and rip down his flesh and cut him everywhere he goes. And my dear friend, every thorn that pricked his flesh reminded him of his sin. Every time he saw a sin, he was reminded of his failure, of his disappointment and what he did. It was a reminder of his failure. And then when you come to the book of Numbers, over in the book of Numbers, I'd like to read that for you if you want to write it down. In the book of Numbers, our Lord is speaking here about Israel. And when they come into the promised land and they are to drive out all the inhabitants of the land. And he said this, "But if you will not drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. He said, if you don't obey me and drive out all the inhabitants of the land, he said, they're going to be a constant thorn in your flesh. They're going to be constantly harassing you, constantly giving you problems, constantly reminding you of your disobedience and failure in the Lord. And then when you come to the book of Hosea, I won't read all this morning, but I'd like to write it down. Hosea chapter 2 and begin at verse 6 and following. You remember the story? He told Hosea, that great prophet of God, to take a wife out of whoredom. And he took a wife, and she was unfaithful to him in their marriage relationship. She even had children by other men, and she forsook him and left him and the children and went out. And God makes this testimony. There's a parallel between that prophet of God as representing the Lord and then his adulterous wife representing the nation of Israel. But there was a real prophet and there was a real woman, and all the problems they experienced were real. But he says this, Hosea, he said, I will hedge her about with thorns. And he said, I'll do that. And then he goes on in the next chapter as he relates the truth to Israel. He said, but I will bring them back. And so in type, there was a time when she had been judged and she had been forsaken by all men. She stood naked in the slave market, and she was sold on the open market as a slave. And God sent the preacher down to buy back his adulterous wife and purchase her back to himself and take her back home to live with him and the children. And God showed his love for Israel and God's love for us in our failures and all that, how that would go. But he said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to put a hedge of thorns around her. And then when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 9 and verse number 19 and verse number 2, John 9, verse number 2, the Bible says when they were going to crucify our Lord, the Roman soldiers platted a crown of thorns and they placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Rose of Sharon wore a crown of thorns. My dear friend, that speaks of his bearing the curse for us. My dear friend, when you think about all of those, that those thorns were used to remind them of their failure, it was used to hedge this woman, this wife of Hosea in to where she had no choice and she had lost all pleasure in life. And everywhere she went, it was only trouble and problem, but it guided her back to her husband. And in God's divine providence, he used those thorns to lead her back to a place of forgiveness and pardon and restitution. And then our Lord on that cross bore that crown and he bore the curse that started way back when Adam sinned and Eve sinned and the thorns came forth. It represents the curse of God. And what the Lord Jesus Christ did is he took all of the curse that God had put on mankind and all the sin of mankind and laid it on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friend, I want to thank God for the cross. I want to thank God for the crown. I want to thank God for the thorns, because he bore my sin, he carried my curse and your curse, and he paid that sin debt on Calvary. Thank the Lord for that. Now, Paul said, I've learned to thank God for the thorns. I've learned to thank God for the thorns. Notice he goes back over into chapter number 4. He said that we're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. And then over in that passage I read to you in chapter number 12, he said that God gave him a thorn of flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And he said he prayed to the Lord 3 times and God wouldn't take it away. Thank God for the thorn. I don't know what your thorns are. There's some of you that we pray for very earnestly. You're battling cancer right now. You may consider that to be a thorn. Why am I having to go through this? Now, I'm going to just tell you, I'm thinking about 2 individuals in here now, Miss Brenda Ledford and Brother Donnie Tippett. In all of my life and all my ministry, if I've seen 2 people who accepted God's plan for their life with a right spirit, right attitude, it's these 2 people. I've not seen them waver. I've seen them praise the Lord. I've seen them just give God the glory, and whatever God does, it's going to be all right. I remember going to the hospital the first time when Miss Brenda was diagnosed, and she said, "Brother Billy, I'm going to be fine either way." Donna's told me the same thing. But many of us go through trouble. And, you know, it's not always that way. Even sometimes when we say publicly or we say individually, I know from personal experience, boy, I'm glad that God's in control. But then sometime in the dark hour of the night, when you're hurting so bad you don't know what to do, there's a big question mark comes up. Why? Why do I have to do? Why this thorn? Why this? It could be a lot of things. It could be a rebellious child. It could be some sin in your family. It could be anything. And you say, why have I got these thorns? But listen, I want us to learn from Paul's life that there's a reason for the thorns, but then there ought to be a right reaction to the thorn. Look what Paul said in this passage of Scripture. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure, there was a thorn given to me, a thorn in my flesh." And he said, I prayed three different times for God to take it away. And God said, "I won't take it away, but I will give you grace." Let me say in the first place, I note this from this passage of Scripture. And he said, "There was given to me." Paul understood, he began to understand that what was going on in his life was something that was given to him by God. Now, I want you to understand about the gifts of God. The Bible said that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And Job said, "Should I receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil? Should I just get blessed and not ever have to have any trouble?" Job learned some lessons. Paul learned some lessons. He said, "My thorn is a gift. It's not a grief, it's a gift. God had a purpose in it, and God was doing something for him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights." I do want you to turn back to the book of Psalms. Psalms are right in the middle of your Bible. It should fall open to the book of Psalms. And when you come to the book of Psalms, I want you to find chapter number 119. 119. And notice what David said about his thorns in his flesh. I begin reading verse number 67. He said this, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." David said, the thorns that came my way, God had a purpose in it. He said, it was a good thing for me. You know what? When we get to glory, it may not be the physical blessings that we receive. It may not have been the outpouring of God's kind or people's kindness on us that we'll realize forged our life and made us and gave God more glory. It may be the suffering that you're going through. It may be the hard times you're going through as a family. It may be the heartache that you're going through with children. That may be the good part of God's working in your life. God has a plan. David said, it was good for me to be afflicted. It was good that happened to me. And he said, it brought me closer to God. My dear friend, listen, my wife and I, you heard me share the testimony about our first daughter, Christy, dying with leukemia. I don't want anybody in here to go through that. Don't want anybody in here to go through that. And I don't want to go through it again. I don't want anybody to have to go through that. But God used that in our life. God blessed us, and God did some things in my heart and all of our hearts. But listen, it was a good thing. Notice this. We need to learn this, that these things that come in our life, that we're his children. He loves us. He's not going to let anything come in our life to hurt us. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, we always emphasize they'll work together for good, but he said all things, everything that comes in my life, every gift that comes from God is good and perfect. That's the only kind of gifts. Only kind of gifts is good and perfect gift. I may label it as a hardship. I may label it as a catastrophe. I may label it as some awful malady of the flesh. But the Word of God says everything comes from Him's good and perfect. I don't understand it now. You don't understand it now, but it's good and perfect. He has a perfect plan, a perfect intent. You say, Brother Billy, what possible good could come out of my thorn in the flesh? Well, let's see what came out of his. Notice what happened. He said, God gave me that thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. I read through that. I read over and over again. And listen, you say, well, I believe the devil does all these things to us. Now, I know we've got an enemy. We've got a devil. This, that. I know, understand that. But I want to tell you something. The devil can carry the Lord's mail. Did you know that? The devil, and he said, he sent me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. My dear friend, God's in control. God's in control. And here he said, he sent it to me. Why? He said, lest I be exalted above measure. Sometimes our thorns come to humble us, to get us to the place of total surrender to him. Paul said this, he said, we're ever dying that our trust might not be in ourselves, but in God. You get to the place, you know, we can do anything. I'm stronger than most people. I don't ever get tired. I do this, I do that, I do the other. I've never had anything good. But sometime God will send us some thorns in the flesh that he might humble us. Not that we're full of pride. I don't think Paul was full of pride. He said, he sent me a thorn in the flesh lest I be exalted above measure. He said, God did this as a prohibition or a way to help me against future pride. And he said, God, let this happen in my life so that I could be humbled. You know, sometime when you have a problem in your family and your child, your son, your daughter gets out of line, they get into deep sin or whatever. You know, I don't understand all of it, but I have had people say this. Well, listen. We've never had any problem like that with our kids. We raised our kids right. And we prayed over them, and we had them in Christian school. We ain't never had a problem. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You might be fixing to learn a lesson that you can do everything. Let me tell you something. When I was pastoring down in Pensacola, Florida, I had some precious families in there, loved God, faithful to God, good King James Bible, Independent Baptist Church. And they came to me weeping. Their children had got out into all kind of things. Different ones had done this and different ones had done that. Been in Christian church all their life. Been around a King James Bible, preaching Sunday school, vacation Bible school, waterproof, all that stuff. And heard the greatest preaching in America, not because I was there, but other preachers had come through before me. And those kids had rebelled against them. And they turned their life back on the Lord, everything else. And they said, Preacher, why is that? And I didn't have a real answer for it because my kids were little. All I had to do was worry about them getting skint knees after on the big wheel in the driveway, you know, and about them stealing a cookie out of the cookie jar or doing something they ought not to do. The little things. I wasn't dealing with the big things. But I God gave me grace enough to know. I said, I don't understand. But if I can help, I don't understand it. I know God's in control. But you know what I found in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 1, the Lord says this, I have nourished and raised up children and they rebelled against me. I went back to them and I said, look, let me show you something. What do you reckon the Lord did wrong? What did God do wrong for Israel? What did God do wrong? Did he not raise them right? Did he not give them the word of God? Did he not give them the right kind of preaching? Did he not give them the right kind of example? No, he did everything perfect. But he said, my people rebelled, my children rebelled against me. My dear friend, sometime God let something happen in your life, my life, just to keep us from being prideful and always depend on him. You can do the very best you can, and your children may still end up out there in the world somewhere, but God can give you grace to love them and pray for them and to be able to encourage other parents and to believe God that God's going to do something. My dear friend, Paul learned this lesson. He learned that the thorns are a gift. The problems are a gift. And he learned that God gives it to us sometimes to keep us submissive to him and humble. Doesn't mean that we are prideful, but it keeps us humble before him and to bow the knee, as Brother Joe Berry sang about a while ago. But then he said this. He said, there was a message of Satan given me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He said, for this thing, I sought the Lord. I besought the Lord. I prayed. I besought the Lord three times. I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes these hardship comes just to get us to pray. And you know, when I was going through the thing, God showed me a lot of little things, and I thank God for it. And I said, well, God's put me through this, and I laid on my back, can't do anything else. He just wanted to lay me back. I've said it, and other people said, laid you back on your back. So you just pray and seek him and pray. Well, I always thought that meant that you'd get by and you'd ask him, you know, ask him to heal you, ask him to make you well. But I learned something. Sometimes it's not that at all. It's not that he wants us to ask him for anything. He said, I'll supply all your needs. He said, I know what needs you have before you ever ask me. I'll supply all your needs. My grace is sufficient. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. What are you going to ask him for? Sometimes it's just so we'll take time to be in his presence and worship him and fellowship with him. Most of the time, when you get a little age on you, and I used to think my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and my mom and all them, they would just say anything. Get around Christmas time and say, well, what do y'all want for Christmas? They hardly ever said anything that they wanted. You know what they wanted? I want us all to be together. I want us to be happy. I want us to be able to be together as a family. And, you know, God sometimes will send us a thorn in the flesh, not so we'll come before him and ask him for anything, but just so we can spend some time with him, so we can feel him and know how much he loves us and know that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll never leave me. He's with me all the way. It's a wonderful learning experience. Thank God for the thorns. Thank God for the troubles. Thank God for the heartache. Thank God for that, because Paul said it helped keep me dependent on him. It helped me keep an attitude of prayer. I seek his face and I pray. And then Paul said this, when I prayed and asked the Lord three different times for that, here's what he said. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. In that time of the thorns, you learn God's great provision. Hey, there's a song that says, if I never had a need, I wouldn't know he could solve it. And my dear friend, you'll learn God's grace. You'll learn God's mercy in the thorns, in the heartaches, in the suffering, more than you will in all the daylight and sunlight and blessings of his goodness to us. In those dark days, in those days when trouble comes and heartache comes, you'll learn the sufficiency of his grace. Listen to what Paul said. He said, I take pleasure, therefore, in infirmities. That's weaknesses. Could be physical. Could be your strength had been drained because of some cancer or because of some physical malady. It could be just physical fatigue. It could be weakness insofar as capabilities or mental faculties or anything. It could be most anything, but it really means weakness. I thank God for the weakness. I thank God that I'm not able to do some things that I used to do or whatever. And then reproaches, that has to do also with suffering and with persecution from without sometimes and harassment and all those things. And then notice what he said. He said, in necessities, that has to do with anything. It could be physical. I mean, you're going through a tough time financially and you lost your job and all those things. He said, I've learned to take pleasure in necessities. I mean, I'm not talking about frivolous things. I can't afford a new boat. I'm talking about food. I'm talking about shelter. I'm talking about warmth. I'm talking about anything, necessity. He said, I've learned to thank God that I've got a need. I've learned to thank God that, you get up and you're hurting and your fingers hurt, your knees hurt, everything, yeah. You know, but some people don't have fingers. Some people don't have knees. But God's good to us. You want to thank the Lord. Thank the Lord that God's been good to us. And he goes on and he said, in persecutions and in distress. All those things. He said, I learned to do that. I learned something about his provision. What I learned about them, number one, they're personal. He said, my grace is sufficient. He's talking about Paul. He wrote out a prescription for Paul personally. My grace is sufficient for you. And my grace is sufficient for you, Donnie, and for you, Brenda, and for you, Charles, and for you, Joseph. My grace is sufficient. It's personal. I'm telling you right now, it's not just a blanket thing. He caters and he prescribes what's needed personally. Well, listen, you got a private physician. You got somebody on 24-hour-a-day call, and more than that, he'll be with you. Paul learned this. He said, whenever I'm weak, then I'm strong because he's close to me. He's personal. Thank God for the thorns because of his personal involvement in my life. Thank God for the thorns because notice what he said in this passage of scripture. Read it again. My grace is sufficient. Draw a circle around that word is. Is. And you know what? Tomorrow that word will be is. And a month from that, it will be is. But what if? My grace is. It's present tense. That regardless of how things progress in your life, if they go up, if they go down, if your physical condition gets worse or gets better, if your financial situation gets worse or better, his grace is sufficient. It's always present. It's present tense all the time. God is always able. Thank God for the thorns because he's always there and his grace is always sufficient. It's always, Paul learned this. I don't know, care what I'm going through persecution or if I'm going through infirmities or reproach or necessities or distress, whatever it is. He said, I know that his grace is sufficient right now. Whatever you need then, it'll be there. And Paul said, thank God for the thorns because I see against the dark flannel or dark skies of my problem, his amazing grace over and over again. It always shines. I'm thankful for it because his grace is personal. His grace is present tense, but his grace is plentiful. My grace is sufficient. I don't care how big the problem, he's got more than enough. More than enough grace, more than enough that you need. He'll carry you through it. He'll give you grace to bear it. And whatever happens, God will be with you. It is plentiful, but also it is purposeful. Whatever you're going through, God can give you grace. He said, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he said, I take pleasure. Paul said this, and God brought him to a place. Now, listen, that's what God needs to bring me to, bring you to. He said, I take pleasure in infirmities. Most of us, we can't wait till it's over with. I can't wait till I get out of this. Can't wait till I get this is behind me. Can't wait till God answers my prayer. Paul said, I've learned to take pleasure in infirmities. Wow. Now, wait a minute. If all the devil's got to fight me with is infirmities and problems and distress, if the devil's going to harass me about that, if I could learn to enjoy them and take pleasure with them, you know what that does? It disarms Satan. He can't say nothing. He said, the devil don't love you. You got cancer. I thank God for the thorns. I praise him. I bless him. I'm glad. God knows more than I do. God's grace is sufficient. God's going to be with me. Boy, the devil can't stand that. Paul learned in the thorns what real praise was all about. Remember the story where the Lord fed the 5,000, gave them bread? They gathered around him, thousands and thousands of them, and he fed every one of them, men, children, women, and they had all the food left over. And then he went somewhere else. And then there's some left him, some forsook him. And he said, did you follow me just for the bread? Did you follow me just for the fish? Listen, if you can learn to thank God, not just for the good things, but learn to praise God for everything in your life, what a blessing it'll be. If you learn to do that, Paul learned, and the only way to learn is to go through it. Hey, if you don't go through some things, you don't know whether you can praise him or not. But if God's grace is sufficient to help you to say, praise God, it's going to be all right anyhow, and God's grace is sufficient, I don't mean it's not going to hurt. I don't mean that you won't waller in it and complain and that you won't be in pain, but you can say, I'm going to take pleasure. I'm going to thank God that he knows. He knows the way that I take. And when I'm tried, I'll come forth as gold. Listen, I take pleasure in it. I don't understand it. I don't understand. The other day at our fellowship, I preached on the eagle here. You may remember preaching the eagle, but Brother Frank Thacker was preaching. He reminded me of something. The great eagle nest, you see, we have some up here around Lake Jordan, great big eagle nest, the other kind of what osprey, they build big nests too. But the eagles build huge nests. I mean, they're huge. And the males are what builds them. And you know how he starts? He starts out with briars and thorns. and he encases that thing, and the very bottom of it is all made up of briars and thorns. And when he gets the shape of it made with briars and thorns, then he takes and he puts in smaller twigs on the inside of it, layers all those in there. And then when he's got all the little twigs in there and the support twigs in there, then he pulls grass and he hauls in grass and gets a nice thick bedding of grass and something soft inside. And then the mother eagle comes and she pulls out of her own breast little downy feathers and she lines that eagle's nest with feathers. They have about three eaglets and the eggs are laid and they hatch. And those little eaglets there, that mom and dad brings food, mom brings food, and the mom hovers over them, keeps them warm. Boy, they're in that little downy bed and warm and content. Everything's fine. You ever been like that? When everything was fine, God was just bringing the food to you, keeping you warm. Everything was wonderful. But then something strange happens. As those little eaglets grow, the mom and dad begin, first thing they do is throw out those feathers and then the own grass. Then they throw out the grass and the little eaglets are on those little twigs. And then they throw out the twigs and they got thorns in that nest. And they take the little eaglet and they get him up and throw him out of the nest. Wow. That's a mean mama and daddy. But that daddy, he's got one job. He follows that little eaglet and watches him struggle and fight, and he gets under him, and just before he hits the ground, he'll catch him and take him back up. And he'll do that over and over again. And I can just imagine that little old eaglet saying, "Daddy, what in the world are you doing? Mama, what are you doing? I was comfortable, and here you got all these thorns in here. And you keep throwing me out of the nest, throwing me out." But one day, when they throw him out of the nest, and just a few feet from the nest, he extends those wings that were made for flight, and he realizes the miracle that's taken place. He now flies with his daddy, and he can sail across valley and problems and trouble. He's learned to fly. And can I tell you that sometime that God sends the thorns because he wants to teach you how to fly. He wants to teach you how to face the storm. The eagle, my dear friends, one of the few birds that does not flee the storm. When the storm front's coming, eagle simply goes to the highest vantage point he has, whether it's a mountain or tree, and he waits for the approaching storm and wind. And when they begin to billow and fly and the winds get turbulent, he doesn't fly away from it. He sets sail and he flies into it, and he sets his wings just right. And with those miraculous wings that God gave him, he sails over the storm. He taught him how to fly. And thorns teach us how to fly. Thorns teach us how we can face trouble and how we can face trouble and problem. And we can fly above it and say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I know this, his grace is sufficient." And thorns teach us that wonderful lesson. And it teaches us how to praise him. We never would learn how to fly if we didn't have thorns. We never would know how to face a storm if we didn't have thorns. Thank God for the thorns. Thank God for the problems. And then, lastly, notice what he said in verse number 9. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproach, in necessity and in persecution and distress, and for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong." What's he mean, "then am I strong"? Look back, if you will, please. And he said this in verse number 9. He said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." It's not Paul's strength. It's the strength of the Lord. And it's made perfect. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Somebody said, "How'd you go through all that? How can she face what she's facing and still have joy?" It's the power of Christ. It's not her. It's not him. It's not me. It's not you. It's the power of Christ. And my dear friend, you never would see that demonstrated in your life as long as you're doing it on your own, as long as you try to fight it yourself. But when you come to a place where you recognize that everything that comes from him is a gift, and you recognize it, that God has a purpose in it, and you learn to, like Paul, take pleasure in all these things and to glory in your infirmities, because when you're weak, then are you strong, because his power is made perfect in weakness. Thank God his grace is. I'm glad he can carry us through. I'm glad he's able. Thank God for the thorns. You never would know the power of his grace. You never would know the power that he could carry you through and all the things you could face that you never thought you could until you go through it and you understand that it's not you, but it's Him. God has a plan in your life. Let's thank God for the thorns. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed? So many blessings. I've learned so much over the years from the Word of God, but from godly people. I've heard some of the greatest preachers in America, some of the greatest Bible teachers in America, and I've been blessed and helped. But I've learned so much from God's people. I've learned so much by seeing God work in people's lives, people that you'd never know, people who never taught a Sunday school, never sang in the choir, never did a special, just godly people. I never will forget the day I walked in the old building across the road. Brother G.P. was standing there and a couple other guys. I walked up and said something, greeting like, good morning, praise the Lord, or something. And one of the men, rightly so, said, well, He's a great God. He's been good to me. He's blessed me. And Brother G.P. said this. He said, you know what? He's a great God. He's a good God. If He don't never bless me, He is. If we don't get good things, if we get what we would describe and Job kind of described as an evil thing, if we don't get treasure but we get thorns, God knows. God knows. God knows what will best benefit us and bless us. There's another aspect to God's purpose in me going through something and you going through something. He says it back in chapter number 4, where I read the first passage. He said, all these things that befell me were for you, that the thanksgiving of many might abound unto the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, many of you have prayed for loved ones when they're going through a hard time. You saw God give them grace. And I've stood with you, some of them that God chose to take home. And you would stand there and you'd say to me, Brother Billy, God's been good to us. God gave us so many years together. And I watched and God just blessed her home going, his home going was so sweet. You saw the grace of God and you thank God for it. And sometime, folk, we face thorns so others can thank God and rejoice. God's a great God. Can I tell you, if I was lost today, it's an awful, awful world to live in without Jesus. It's an awful time to not know Christ. We're growing down to the end. And you don't have anybody to go with you through those dark days and troubles if you don't have the Lord. God's a great God. And I wonder this morning if there's a man or a woman, a boy or girl in here who'd say to me, Brother Billy, I'm not a Christian. If I died right now, I don't know that I'd go to heaven. And preacher, would you pray for me across the congregation? Would you raise your hand this morning? Raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. I wonder how many of you this morning are Christians. But you recognize and you know and you got big question marks about things going on in your family, going on in your life, going on in your body. And it's like a thorn in your flesh. You can't rest. You can't, everywhere you turn, there's a prick. Everything makes you think about it. Don't ever get it off your mind. You're always carrying around. And you say, Brother Billy, I've got a lot of thorns. I'm facing them. But I want you to pray for me, preacher, that I will be like Paul. I want to get to a place where I can take pleasure in my infirmity. I want to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I want to get to the place where I understand that He's in control, that every good and perfect gift comes down from Him, and that sometimes thorns are the perfect gift, perfect gift. I may not understand it, and the pain is real, the heartache is real, the tears are real, but preacher, I want to get to the place where I can say I take pleasure in them, and I want to thank God for the thorns. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thank you so much. Let's stand together. Dear friend, I try every time I come before you to mind God, the Holy Ghost, and I think I have today. I believe He gave me the message that God's people needed today. Thank God for the thorns. You don't understand why. Well, He said, God gave me the gift, messenger of Satan to buffet me. I can't understand it, but one of these days I will. but I'm going to glory in it. I'm going to thank God for it. I'll take pleasure in it and say, God, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep looking to you. I'm going to keep trusting you. And I'm asking you, God, you help me. But God, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to glorify. God, thank you for it. And God, help me to have the grace to take pleasure in it. I want us to pray that away this morning. I invite you this morning to come around this altar. You may want to just stand. We got all the groceries around here, but wherever you are, if you want to just come get before God, right here, this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving. We'll have our no service here on Wednesday night. We'll be at the Methodist Church, Mount Zion, 7 o'clock. And maybe you want to just come on this last Sunday before Thanksgiving to thank the Lord for his goodness. You might not have a thorn right now, but you might have it tomorrow. You might have it before you get home today. And I pray God to give you grace to understand his grace is sufficient. He's not intending to hurt you. He wants to help you. He has a purpose for it. He's going to show you something.